Good morning. Welcome to Fairport Baptist Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. It was a little rough last night, I don't know about you, but it had a lot of thundering and rumbling going on. But anyway, we survived. So glad you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. And if you're looking for a church home, we would like to think that you would take a good look at us and settle in here. We're all a one big loving family, right? There we go. All right. For some announcements, things we need to take note of. Community worship service this afternoon at 3 at Afton Methodist Church at 5130 Axe Neck Road in Ophelia. Ladies' luncheon tomorrow at the Golden Eagle Grill in Irvington. Arrive by 11:30 a.m. If you want to ride in the church van, meet here by 10:30 and sign up sheet in the fellowship hall. So if you haven't, you want to go to the fellowship hall there on the counter there. There's a list you can sign up for. Nominating committee Tuesday, 22nd at 5:30 here. And see Lee Bowles if we have any questions. This is an important time of the year. We get together. We see who's going to do what. The committee may come to you and ask you to do something. So be ready to say yes. We don't take no for an answer, do we? But think about that. And or if it's something you'd like to do, and then go to the committee and tell them you'd like to do it. Cross-culture Jesus. This Sunday, next Sunday, during our service, Sarah Smith will be here, a missionary from Guatemala. And she'll be here to fill us in on some stuff. Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday the 28th at 7 p.m. Deacons and WMA meetings Tuesday the 5th at 7. Men's Fellowship breakfast. Now, that may or may not be a breakfast. It may be fishing and lunch again, right, Lee?
It'll be fishing and lunch.
Fishing and lunch. And lunch is going to be at 12 instead of 11. We get a little bit longer fishing time. We didn't get to go fishing this past week. Things weren't right. Huh? Yeah, it did. But I got to tell a fish story at lunch yesterday. And then Youth Summer Fun Day, Saturday the 16th from 4 to 6, and there will be water games, food, and lots of fun. Please bring a change of clothes, a bathing suit, and a towel. A sign-up sheet will be available in the fellowship hall. Any questions, see Michelle Jenkins. Okay. Any other announcements, anything I need to... Good morning. Good morning again. I like to see all these smiling faces. I know I've probably told you before, I've been to some churches, you look at it and you want to ask, well, who died? Yeah. Good smiling faces. Let's go to the Lord, the one that smiles on us the most. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be here in your presence, to be here in this hour of worship and praise, to come before you and to know as part of worship, we're actually the actors. We're the ones that are on stage. And we look to you to know that you're the audience. You're the observer. And you're the one that we will worship and praise and give you all the honor and glory. We thank you especially for the gift of eternal life. And may we be ever mindful of that as we go through this service. And all that we do is say, it's according to your will and glory as we do it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
number 5, I sing praises. Number 5, stand as we sing.
Good morning, everybody. There comes Johnny. He's in first. Who's in second? Here comes Charlie, rounding the bend. Good morning, everybody. All right, you're a little slower than the rest. Morning, guys. How are you guys? Did you guys hear a little storm last night? We got through that one somehow. Somehow we got through that one. I had something in my pocket I was going to bring out and show you this morning. And I should... No, it's not money. I am not Mr. Walker. I am not Mr. Walker. I have some shiny things here. Why don't you hold it? It's not going to hurt you. What do you guys think these shiny objects are? Ooh, Taylor, you might recognize it if I hold it up like this and I put a fish hook right down here at the bottom. It's a fishing lure. It's a shiny lure. Isn't it pretty neat? So what these are used for is people who go fishing will take these and drop these in the water and they shine and they sparkle and they attract other fish. Because they're attracted to the lures. shiny, sparkly things. Aren't we all excited and attracted to shiny, sparkly things? Yeah, fish that we could eat them too. That's right. Unless there's a lot of money involved, you're not going to fish. Well, I know a lot of people in this room that made a living fishing. I will tell you that. But you know what? As children of God, Charlie, we got to be careful we don't get fall for shiny objects. You know, shiny objects can be our downfall. And shiny objects, sometimes they're not shiny. Sometimes they come in the form of cartoons that we shouldn't be watching. Sometimes they come in the form of movies and shows that we adults shouldn't be watching. Sometimes they come in the form of other people, which we think are special and fantastic, but we find out they're not. What's your question? What's your question, Johnny? Well, you know what? Sometimes we shouldn't tell the church what dads have. Yeah. Well, there are some things that we're not supposed to watch. So we need to be very careful that we don't get caught staring at shiny objects for the wrong reason. So one thing I want you guys to remember is that we need to keep our faith and our eyes where? Where do we need to be looking? In our heart. And who's in our heart? Jesus, that's right. I want you guys to remember that sometimes we can get distracted in different places by different things that aren't always the best for us. So keep Jesus in your heart and remember that we should pay attention to God, okay? All right, let's say a little prayer and then we'll go in the back room. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeing us through the storm last night. We know that there's shiny objects all around us, and some are good, but yet there are many that are dangerous for us. Please help, as Charlie said, to keep God and Jesus in our heart, and as Taylor said, Jesus is our first priority. In your name we pray, amen. All right, guys, go back there and have a good morning. You got your hands full, Michelle. And no, Melissa, I'm not going to make it a race because we know the kids will win. Hey, such praises, right? We have lots of praises in this church, and those kids are definitely one of them. Other praises today. I see Miss Barbara back with us today. So happy you're feeling better. And I see the Walkers are here today, actually all four of them. And that makes me happy to see those praises. But there are also some things not going well, and there's some people suffering. I ask you once again, if there's somebody that you're not seeing and that you think may be sick or something's going on, please bring it to my attention or one of the other Senior Saints members so we may reach out, contact that person, and let them know. It's been brought to my attention that Ed Norris is not doing well, and I am so sad to hear that. Please, please lift them up in prayer. Betty Ann has had bronchitis for the last 2 or 3 weeks. She was hoping to be here this morning, but I got a text that she is still shaky on her feet, so she's staying home. Danny Smith, I heard, took a nasty fall last week and is black and blue. He's feeling better, but he just doesn't look the best, and he wants to stay home and get some rest, so we lift him up. Lee told me that Miss Nancy's not doing so well. She's got a little stomach bug right now, so we're definitely lifting her up in prayers. And Michelle mentioned to me that the Tidings haven't been doing well. Miss Gloria, the mother of the family, hasn't been doing too well. And Carol's husband, Randy, also hasn't been doing well. So there's lots of concerns in a church like ours. Please share with each other so that we know what's going on and we can reach out. Anybody else have any more prayers, praises, or concerns?
Well, I have one.
Yes, sir.
My granddaughter, my daughter's daughter, is in Michigan. She had appendicitis.
Oh, no.
And they took her appendix out. It was successful. Everything went good. And they sent her home. They do like outpatient now, and she's doing fine. So I didn't.
Isn't that amazing what technology through God's work can do these days? You can have a valve replacement, anything, and you're home in a couple of minutes. I know Dale Clark had his knee replaced last year, and he said it was same-day surgery, and he walked out. So God is good. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed morning.
Thank you. So much to think about, isn't it? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're there for us. We thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you provide all the things that we need to live, and provided especially your Son to give us eternal life, that we may know that someday we will spend eternity with you. But in the meantime, we know that we have your presence with us and that you're helping us and seeing us through each day, through the trials, the troubles, and even the joys. And we thank you so much for all of that. And we pray, Father, for those, many that we've mentioned here today on our church family, those that are struggling with a disability, an injury, or some illness. We pray that your healing hand would be upon each of them and strengthen them and see them through and bring them back to us, that they may be a part, active family here within the walls of this church that we, as we worship and praise you. And we pray, Father, for those that have recently lost loved ones, those that need your tender, loving care, that fill that empty place in their hearts that's been left by the loss of the loved one, that only you can replace it and offer the love that you can give and help them through these difficult times. And we pray, Father, for our church and for the missions that we have going forth, and that we continue to look to ways and show us ways that we can reach out and those that need help, those ministries and things that we can be a part of. And we pray that you would continue to put your blessings upon us and to see us through as we go as a church. And we pray now all that we do and say here is according to your will and your glory and your honor as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
I offer to a hymn this morning is hymn number 52, Blessed Be the Name, 52.
You know, I keep hearing some of you keep telling me you're blessed that I'm here as your pastor, but I tell them back, I'm blessed to be your pastor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know some of y'all play golf, right? I got a golfing story today. A man went to confessional. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. He said, what is your sin, my son? And he said, well, the man started, I used some horrible language this week and I feel absolutely terrible. When did you use this awful language? The priest asked. I was golfing and hit an incredible drive that looked like it was going to go over 250 yards, but it struck a power line that was hanging over the fairway and fell straight down on the ground for going only about 200 yards. Is that when you swore? No, Father. After that, a squirrel ran out of the bushes, grabbed my ball in his mouth, and began to run away. Is that when you swore? Well, no. You see, as the squirrel was running, an eagle came down out of the sky, grabbed the squirrel in his talons, and flew away. Is that when you swore? Asked the amazed priest. No, not yet. As the eagle carried the squirrel away in his claws, it flew towards the green, and as it passed over a bit of forest near the green, the squirrel dropped the ball. Did you swear then? No, because as the ball fell, it struck a tree, bounced through some bushes, careened off a big rock, and rolled through a sand trap onto the green and stopped within 6 inches of the hole. And the priest replied, you missed the putt, didn't you? The church today is suffering more harm from within than without. There's an enemy within the church. The parable of the wheat and tares is an example of that. If you're not familiar with that parable, that's where a man went out and planted wheat in his garden and went to bed that night. And while he was asleep, the enemy came, the Satan, and planted weeds in there. And of course, the weeds and the wheat look the same until the wheat bears its head, its fruit, and then is ready to harvest. And of course, we're told, Jesus said that if we start pulling weeds, we're going to get some of the wheat too. So we have to wait for the harvest. Now, the church at Thyatira had an enemy within called Jezebel. Now, of course, if you're familiar with Jezebel, she was that wicked queen of King Ahab. She's one that introduced a lot of bad things to the people of God. She introduced the prophet of Baal and his things and idol worship and fornication, all these different things. She was teaching members to compromise with the world. Compromising with the world will destroy a church. People compromise because they seek their own interest at any cost. That's what's going on in some of these denominations that have fallen. Is those people, rather than seeking what God wants of them and how God wants them to live, their own interest at any cost. They compromise what they know is right in order to get what they want. People seek power, position, popularity, promotion, and so forth. Now, we're going to look at Revelations 2, 18 through 29, the church at Thyatira, the enemy within. So I'm going to read that, starting in verse 18 of chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these sayings saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and of them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon them none other burden. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that cometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. First off, is it with any letter, there's a person that it's addressed to first. It's to the minister of the church. The minister is responsible for the message. Unfortunately, many ministers today in many churches have forgotten that. I know and hold myself responsible, and I know who holds me responsible, and that is God, for the handling of His word, what I preach and what I teach. The minister is to proclaim the truth and to denounce compromise with the world. The problem of compromise is serious with Christ. This is the largest letter to the smallest church. Christ has more to say to a compromising church than any other. The rich young fool is an example of compromise. If you're familiar with the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him, well, you need to obey the commandments, honor your mother and father, and so forth. And the young ruler said, yes, I understand that. I've done that. But what he knew something yet was lacking. He says, what yet do I lack? And Jesus said, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor, pick up your cross, and follow me. You know what the rich young ruler, I get this picture of the rich young ruler standing there before Jesus. He hung his head down. I'm sure he probably kicked the dirt, and he walked off. Never heard from him again. Why? Because he couldn't let go of the worldly stuff he had in his possession. He was compromising with the world. Now, he writes to the congregation at Thyatira. Thyatira at that time was a frontier town. It was a military outpost. There were many trade guilds there. You know, we call them unions today. The guilds were both business and social. There were drunken parties. There were dinners in the temples of the false gods. There were sacrifices to God. There was immorality. The church members belonged to these guilds. It was easy for them so that they could secure jobs, to prosper and obtain acceptance, and felt that God would understand. Yeah, God understands all right. We will see. There was no pressure put on the church, no persecution, because they were going along to get along. The speaker, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, they're to obey, to believe in, and to follow. Said, eyes like a flame of fire. He sees all. He sees the lies. He sees the stealing. He sees the immorality. He sees everything. He knows everything. He sees through the compromising in the world. I always think about the eyes of Jesus, and I think about those that when they looked upon him, they either loved him and accepted him, or they knew and were condemned. I think about Peter after he had denied Jesus three times, and Peter standing there in that courtyard, and he could see Jesus standing there before those trying him. And Jesus looked at him with those eyes. Peter felt so ashamed, and he left. Those eyes, to look upon his eyes. and he had brass feet, solid. Man has feet of clay. Now, condemnation. For their works of the Lord and of their service, their ministry showed that their love for their fellow man and for those in need. They did service to the community for Christ. They were evangelistic. They did spread the gospel and preaching. They were needy people they took care of. They were the poor. They were the imprisoned that they looked after. They were commended for their faith and for their patience. They believed God. They trusted Him. They sacrificed their money and their time for Him. They accepted the challenges they endured in the ministry. They were growing. There was significant growth through their ministry. The ministry to the community in any way that they could to help. They continued to grow. They ministered beyond the walls of the church. How many churches today don't go beyond the walls? They meet, they worship, and that's it. This church goes beyond the walls. I wouldn't be here if it didn't. And if it wasn't, I'd let you know. There is a complaint. A false teacher in their midst. Jezebel. Now, who is this Jezebel in this church? She was a prophetess. She was a woman teacher. Now, some say, and I have some of the commentaries are read, and I don't know for sure, but they said it might have been the pastor's wife. And she was allowed to teach, and the church gave her the right to teach. Now, Jezebel originally was the wife of King Ahab. She introduced a lot of bad stuff to the people of God, to the Jews, and to God's kingdom. She introduced a lot of that stuff. And she, one day, she got hers. This Jezebel here in this church was teaching within the church. She was teaching contrary to Christ and the Word of God, allowed her false teachings to spread. The Lord's people were being seduced. They were being led into fornication, both spiritual and physical. Taught you can't separate yourself from the world. You'd be considered to be exclusive and a snob if you did. Let me tell you something. We are in the world, but not of it. Amen. It says so in the scriptures. And this is where these churches have gone wrong today. These whole denominations. They're allowing this same-sex marriage. They're ordaining gays and homosexuals as ministers. They're supporting the LGBTQA+, whatever, all that stuff you want to add to that. They're false teachers. Now, I'm going to tell you this. A lot of these churches have actual Jezebels, women pastors, who teach this mess. And I know when I've talked to some of those that have left, like the United Methodist Church, because I filled in some of those that had left before I came here. At one church, they had a woman pastor. She discounted the authority of the Bible. The little lady told me, when she first come there, she thought, well, it's not a bad thing to have a woman pastor. But she said the more she heard, the more she watched, the more she don't want a woman pastor no more. The Southern Baptist Convention has voted against women pastors in the church. Now, we do have some churches, even in our associations here, we have some women pastors. Now, I'm not going to condemn those churches, not going to condemn them on the spot, but let me just say this. I will not have a woman pastor. Why? Because the Scripture says the pastor must be a man. There's a lot of reasons for that. I have nothing against women. I was married to one for over 50 years. My mother was a woman, very dear. And I have worked with a lot of women in a lot of churches. And some churches, if it wasn't for the women, it wouldn't be. We're fortunate in this church. We got a lot of good dedicated men working in here also. But here's where it went wrong. There's five denominations that have gone this path of same-sex marriage, LGBTQ, and all that stuff. You know where it started? You ready for this? It started with allowing women to be pastors in the church. What did they do? They compromised with the scripture. They watered it down. And they allowed it to happen. So as time went on, as other matters came up, they started compromising and watering down. Where are they at today? They're same-sex marriage, homosexual pastors, gay and lesbians and so forth. And they're having big celebrations. But let me tell you something. Someday, R.G. Leaves, being the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Tennessee, years ago, Dr. Adrian Rollins followed him. He had a sermon. Someday payday. Yes. There will be a day. They taught you need to be sensible in dealing with the world. Taught it was easier to reach the world by associating and fellowshipping with the world. Taught they needed to attend socials and not be separated. They were led to commit adultery, attended meetings in the temples of false gods. They ate meals sacrificed to idols. They taught to put jobs and social acceptance before God. Let me tell you something. God goes first before anything. She was given the opportunity to repent. She wouldn't repent of her false teachings. There's always the opportunity to repent. Before the flood, the day of Noah, 120 years of people was given an opportunity to repent. And all they did was, you know what Noah did while he was building that ship? While he was building it, he was preaching. But they didn't listen. The people of Nineveh were given an opportunity. Now, they took the opportunity when after Jonah. That's a fish story I told yesterday about Jonah. After Jonah came and preached, then they repented. But then some years down the road, they fell back into it. And of course, then God did punish them. So, here's the warning. He will throw Jezebel into a sick bed. This is his judgment on her sin. This was the same fate of the wicked queen Jezebel. You know what happened to her? She was cast off the wall, fell, and just as it was prophesied, guess who got her? The dogs. There wasn't a whole lot left to her after the dogs got through. Tribulation to those who follow her will kill their children. Now, this could be her spiritual children and perhaps her real ones. We don't know. But Jesus is to be honored. Justice will be executed. Judgment according to their works unless they repent. Be sure Christ will judge those that compromise and corrupt his church. And that's so much going on to today's side. This was written thousands of years ago. And it still fits what's going on today. People that don't listen. There's counsel. There's no further burden on the faithful. They must remain steadfast. There's a promise. Power over the nations to rule and reign with Christ forever. We're going to have some jobs to help Christ in the end. And we're going to have jobs to do. We're going to be working for him. Going to be good jobs. It's going to be pleasant for us. Be given the morning star. What is that? To receive Christ for eternity. His presence with us for eternity. Listen to what he says. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. It's a message for all churches everywhere. Separate yourselves from the world. Never compromise and become corrupted. Never allow a Jezebel to teach in the church. A church crowded with people is not necessarily a real church. Many people looking to be entertained and not instructed. I see some of these big churches and I call it entertaining the troops. They're not preaching about sin and judgment. People want to be soothed instead of being confronted with their sin and offer of salvation. I'll give you a big example. Joel Osteen in that big church he's got down there in Texas. Let me tell you something. He doesn't preach the gospel, folks. He doesn't preach on sin. All he does is preach about self-building yourself up and how to get along and how to be nice and all this other stuff. It's just, he doesn't preach on it. And he's been caught and he won't admit that Jesus Christ is the only way. What does that say? Many see churches as a social club rather than a Christian congregation. Many want to compromise with the world and its values. And that's what's happened in many of these churches. I know, like the Catholic churches, they had bingo and other things. Bingo was gambling in a sense. They compromised with the world in many ways. Mahatma Gandhi said one time, the greatest enemy of the church in India was Christianity itself. The Christians, the church members, and the way they lived was not an example for Christ. How many churches today, how many members are not a living example for Christ? People see, well, they're no different in there than we are out here. Why belong to it? Remember this, Christ died on a cross. First, that we might repent of our sins. Second, that we might have eternal life. Third, that we might escape the coming judgment, because as a believer, we were judged on the cross. We've already been judged. And that we might follow him and not the world. Do you know him today? Are you living for him? If anything you compromise in the world needs to go, get rid of it. And if I ever do, you can show me the door. And I'm sure I know some will. If I ever try to do anything, and of course I'll be the first one to speak up if he try to do anything that compromises with the world. That's my job when I say no. And anything we do in a church, and here's my theory, anything we decide to do here in this church, I always ask the question, if it comes to it, what does it do to further the cause of Christ? What does it do to reach people for Christ? That's what we're here for. And that's what I'm going to stand solid on. So you know him today. Opportunity, if you don't, to come receive him. It's him of invitation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this example of this church to look at and to see there was some compromising going on. And we know that you would not have that in your church. And we pray that we would remain that way as a church, to always be your way and hold you first, our first love, and our first commitment, serving you and reaching out to the world, that they become a part of us and that we not become a part of that. And we pray if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ or not sure that he is their Savior, would come today and receive him. All they have to do is say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on that cross to forgive me of those sins, and I believe you arose to give me eternal life. And I now want to serve you for the rest of my days. This we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 602, I have decided to follow Jesus. was sung at my ordination many years ago. That's right. When I picked out the songs, I said, well, the other was Victory in Jesus. Okay. I hope that you received the word today. I'm going to be at that door over here today. Okay. And so I'm going to get over there and do the benediction, and then I'll greet those that leave that way. And so, Lord be with you. So let me go get up here. Don't get run over. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for each one that is here and for the fellowship and our being in your presence together as one. And as we leave here today, may we go out and share with the world what you've done for us in your Son, that may they also may want to come to know him. And we pray that you keep us and protect us till we come together again, for we go in Jesus' name. Amen.